Hello there. I hope this works. This microphone, I mean. The last episode I recorded on New Year's Eve, the sound quality was not great. Because I think I kept ruining all these really cheap headsets. You know, the kind, the inline microphone on your earphones. You know, the earbuds. I kept ruining those, leaving them in the car, taking them out of the car, yanking them around. So I went out and bought a really nice headset with a nice microphone. It's one of those gaming ones. I probably spent $50 or $60 on it. But I think the microphone was actually too good, and it picked up a lot of the road noise. Just turn off my heater there. So I have to try something different. So today I'm recording on a lavalier microphone, which is one of those clip-on ones like they use in, you know, on television where they see them clipped to your shirt or whatever. That's called a lavalier mic. So I have a lavalier microphone that I bought very cheaply. I think it only cost a couple dollars. I just wanted to try it out. I'm trying to find something that will pick up my voice, but not the insane amount of road noise. I mean, there's a lot more road noise now because of the snow. When you're running over snow and ice with winter tires on, it does pick up a lot more noise. But there's got to be a way, there's got to be a solution to pick up what I'm saying so that you can listen. if it's ever possible to listen to me talking and enjoy yourself, hopefully you can do that without all that background noise. So I'm going to try this again. I'll keep trying until I get something that works. So here we are. It is Friday. Oh my. Long week. We got hit with a major snowstorm on Wednesday. I kind of wish I was recording on Wednesday on the drive home. Oh my goodness. I left work early to get home. I worked from home for the afternoon. But I left work early because I wasn't going to make it. If I had to wait another half an hour, I would not have made it home. When I started getting up my road, the back road that I live on, my car was pushing snow. Snow was coming up over the hood. I had the wipers on high, like the fastest speed, and I still could barely see anything. I'd have to stop every, I'd say 30, 40 feet and get my bearings, because the only way I could judge where I was going was trying to either look at the snow banks on either side of the car to see where the ditch was, or I could barely make out like the darkness of the trees in the background on both sides of the road. The road was white, the sky was white, snow was falling, snow was blowing, and snow coming right up over the hood and over the windshield. When I finally got home and parked the car, there was this like cone of snow 2 feet out from the front of the car, just stuck to the car, and it came up almost like a snowplow. It was like in the shape of a snowplow, the front of my car, like a big nose or something on it. There's so much snow all over the front of my car. I was down to like first gear in some cases, like 10 kilometers an hour getting up my road. So I figured if I had waited another half an hour, I would not have made it home. And then Thursday, I didn't get out of my driveway. I had to work from home all day. I had to log in from home and dial into our systems at work. It was nuts. It was absolutely insane, the amount of snow. Some people saying they got 60 centimeters of snow in some places in that one 24-hour period. And I think we got more than that at where I live. Did the driveway several times, trying to keep up, and just couldn't keep up. And I have an old truck with a plow on it, and it's working like garbage right now. It runs great for about 5 minutes when it's cold. The minute the engine starts to warm up, it starts to run pretty bad. It's crappy, bogging out on me. And I have a snowblower, but there's so much snow, it was too much for the snowblower, so I literally was just shoveling a lot yesterday. And yeah, it was hellish, let's just say that. So it's Friday, the week is over. Cold today, but it's going to be warm. It's like +10 tomorrow with rain or something, so it's not not going to melt all the snow, but it's going to make a mess. It's going to be slush and mess, and it will get cold and turn to ice again, so still lots more fun with that. But it's Friday. It's Friday. And I'm driving home, as usual, in my little Hyundai Accent, recording the Community From Within podcast. I'm Dwayne McCachran. Welcome. And I put this microphone on, thought I was going to record a few thoughts today, because I had an idea in my head when I got in the car. Oh, okay, there we go. So, last episode, if you could hear anything I said through all the noise, I was talking about an idea. For a non-alcohol bar. A place for adults to hang out without the pressure of alcohol being there, but the same kind of atmosphere. I guess I've seen examples in the States and other places where this works. There's, you know, and so I'd love to start something like that around here and just you know, see what happens. See how it goes. And I keep thinking about this sort of thing, especially because I mentioned this before. I'd love to brew beer. I've done it in the past, but I don't drink because I'm an alcoholic. But I love beer. Speaking of which, lost my train of thought. Yeah, so I've been thinking about brewing non-alcoholic beer. I love a stout. You can't buy a stout around here. There's a company I found online. I'll give them a shout out. This is not a paid endorsement or anything, but the name of the company is called Partake. So if you look up Partake, non-alcohol brewery, something like that, you'll find them. And they do ship within Canada and the States, and they make a stout. And I haven't gotten around to it. You have to order like a 24 case, and with shipping and everything costs like, it'll come to like $50 or $60, which I'm sure is well worth it. I just haven't had the disposable income to throw at that yet. But I really want to try that. But at the same time, I would love to brew my own stout, non-alcohol beer. And of course, I currently get the spent grain from a local brewery. And I use that for making the dog treats for Good Boy Dog Treats, goodboy.ca. Available at Wayne's Variety in Judic and the Brook Village Grocery Store. And happy to announce, within the next couple weeks, I should have some also on the shelf at the animal feed store in Port Hawkesbury, located at the Port Hawkesbury Recycling Depot. It's called the Straight Recycling Depot, I think, or Straight Area Recycling Depot, right in Port Hawkesbury. So they're going to carry Good Boy Dog Treats as well. I just have to bake some. I'm hoping to possibly do some this weekend. I don't know when I'm going to get to it. Soon, within the next week or two, I'll have them on the shelf there as well. So, point is, I get the spent grain for the dog treats, but also, you know, we can use it for feeding pigs, chickens, things like that, the leftovers. So, and I want that to continue, of course, and I think I have a good relationship with the brewery. But if I was to brew my own non-alcoholic beer, that would be a small supply of spent grain as well. Almost like a backup. The thing about the brewery is it's either really intense, lots of grain all at once, you know, like five or six trips a week sometimes, or only trip every now and then. Like they'll brew, and then there'll be a week or two with no brewing. Because obviously the way it works is they have to brew, and then everything has to ferment for a couple weeks, and then they have to empty the fermenters and can before they can brew again. So it's kind of hit or miss. So and spent grain, it's moist, it's wet, it doesn't stay for long. So that's what one of the ideas where the dog treats came from, was to utilize it while it's still good before it goes bad. Because I can't store it all, and I don't have a method to dehydrate it all yet. I want to build a solar dehydrator as a project for the summer to be able to store it for long periods of time. But I'm not there yet. So anyway, I thought it'd be cool if I could, on a smaller scale even, brew enough have enough grain to brew to make a non-alcoholic stout. And then I would also have the grain left over on the, you know, I could do that on the weeks when the brewery's not heavy with grain. I'm also looking at a lot of other ideas to do with the spent grain, besides dog treats. And I'm hoping, I have to look into it, you know, obviously with pet food products. Number one, I want to say, like, regardless of the regulations, everything I do is always, you know, 100% food safe. You know, I'm very careful with everything, very clean. I took the food safety course a few years back. So I you know, very conscious of that, because the last thing I want is, you know, I don't know how we're, I know dogs can eat things, you know, they eat garbage for God's sakes, but at the same time, I don't want anybody's pet to get sick eating my dog treats, obviously, so I'm very careful with everything. But if I was to make something for human consumption, separate from that, I have to look into what the regulations are and stuff for selling food products, because there are many human food products that you can do with spent grains. I mean, you can make flour, you make breads, you can make cookies, you can make sort of like granola bar things. There's all kinds of products that I can do. So I'm looking at, I have an idea for a company name and logo, and I'm thinking about releasing something as a test through the Mabu Market system this summer. If I get in, like if Good Boy Dog Treats gets in, I'll put a slash, Good Boy slash, you know, this other company, and test market a few other items. I'm taking things really slow, because this is, you know, this is a side business, number one. This is not my primary thing, and I'm not doing this to, you know, I'm not hoping to quit my job and sell dog treats for a living. That's not my goal with this company, or these ideas. I'm doing them because it's more like a hobby. I enjoy it. It's fun. I'm learning. And, you know, if I have a really great market or a great week selling, maybe it brings in a little cash. That's fine. But I'm also doing it to have these examples and items to talk about for this podcast, to share with you, so you can learn from my experiences in this realm of entrepreneurship. Because, like, see, I love listening to all kinds of different podcasts and books and these, you know, I call them self-help things, like, you know, whether it's Tim Ferriss or Tony Robbins or Seth Rogen. Seth Godin, is that his name? See the guy who wrote Guerrilla Marketing? That was one of my favorite books years ago. Anyway, Seth Rogen. Smart guy, too. Anyway. But when you listen to these guys, these are all guys who were successful and they made it, right? And they're telling you what they did and then how to do it. And I thought this would be kind of my podcast, my ideas. Come along with me for the ride as I'm doing it, for a guy who knows, you know, I don't know what I'm doing necessarily. So, I mean, you know, and I hope I'm prefacing if I ever give advice, I'm saying, you know, like I said last week with the accounting, I'm going to do all my own accounting and taxes for my businesses. I'm not recommending that to you. I'm recommending you get a chartered accountant to do your taxes for you, always. Because I'm not going to, you know, I'm not taking on any liability to say you can do it. You can, but anyway, you get my point. So the whole point of this podcast is for you to witness me going through this process, having some fun with it, learning as I go along, and sharing what I'm learning. And if you have ideas to start a business of your own, this hopefully will help. I mean, if you're, let's say hypothetically you're listening to this and you're trying to start a business at the same time, I may not have the expertise yet to say, this is how you do these things. I can only say this is what I would do in whatever situation, or this is how I am doing it now. Yeah. Get me? Understand what I'm saying? yeah, I hope it, you know, I guess in some way I hope that at a certain point, once I've succeeded somewhere with some of these things, if I do, somebody comes back and they listen to some of these podcasts, then in that sense, you're picking up the little successes that I may have along the way. So I guess that's the same thing, isn't it? I guess the only difference is I'm just recording it as I go along without knowing where this is all going. I mean, in my head, let's say... Okay, so yeah. In my head, here's what I could envision for this whole project. Let's say it would be like, when I say micro, I mean micro brewery, micro small craft non-alcohol brewery, making, you know, maybe a couple different brews, like a stout and a pilsner and an IPA, all non-alcohol beer. And that's one product. And then the grains that are left over go into all the other products. And this could all be in within one encapsulated business. You know, the brewery is right beside the kitchen. It just moves from there to there. Like, I can almost envision buying or building a small structure where this is all encapsulated in the same thing. The question is, what do you need to do? Let's say I wanted to move forward this on a small scale, one step at a time. I like to do this without incurring any debt. And for the most part, you know, every cent I've made, I mean, technically I haven't made any money. I'm still trying to recoup money that I've spent, for the dog treat business and everything. I'm trying to recoup money for the bins I bought, and, you know, I'm still in the minus, technically. But I'm spending my own money on it. And I say I haven't gone into debt. Technically, yeah, there's been times where I've gone out to buy the peanut butter for the dog treats, and I probably put that on my credit card or something. But point is, that's my own money I'm putting into the business. The business has not made a cent yet. It's still in the minus. But it doesn't worry me, because it's not... It shouldn't at this point. I haven't had enough sales, or tried to have enough sales, technically. I didn't do enough markets in the summer, and I don't have enough retail outlets to have made a profit yet. That's all good. I'm not sitting here relying on this. I'm lucky in the sense that I have a job. This is a side thing. This is a hobby. So I'm taking things slowly. You know, I'm not driving around crazily trying to get my product in every single store I can and baking, you know, every day, because I don't want to put myself through that right now. I could try to push it. I could try to get myself in the major grocery chains across Canada, and maybe it leads to somewhere. It's not that I'm not confident in myself. It's just that's not the direction I really plan to go right now. This is just a fun thing to do, and I'm enjoying what I'm doing the way I'm doing it. So that's what I'm doing. Everybody on board? Okay. So, but again, like, the idea of the microbrewery aspect for the non-alcohol beer is, again, this is something I would enjoy for myself to drink, but I would enjoy the process of learning how to do it. Last time I tried to brew homebrew, I did a pilsner, like a Heineken type beer. And it was in the year 2001. I was living in Thurso, Quebec. And I remember cracking open the first one, I drank it, and I had this major headache within 10 minutes. And I wasn't sure what it was. And then a couple days later, I had another one, and it gave me a headache right away. And I'm like, something wrong here. I don't think I drank the rest of it. Maybe a couple more. Like, when a beer gives you a headache within 10 minutes, like, I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. Added something wrong, or like one of the different agents that you add to the beer for cleaning it out. Maybe I put too much or something. I don't know. It was awful. It didn't taste too bad, but I enjoyed that process and liked it. Oh, yeah, and I also... I don't know if I ever talked about this before. I probably did. And I'm sorry for repeating myself if I am. I think that's the most popular sentence I've said. If you look at all the different sentences and words I've used in this podcast from the inception till now, saying, I hope I'm not repeating myself, I'm sorry if I did, is probably the most popular sentence. Hops. I have access to hops. I have hop plants growing. Side story. So, I guess hops, what I was told was, settlers brought hop plants with them over from the old world, because hop plants, you can get yeast from hop plants. And you need yeast for baking your bread. So people used to grow hops up the sides of their barns and things like that. I also know, like, so at my grandparents' old property, there are hops growing in the swamp all wild. They'd spread and they're everywhere. But I also know my grandfather used to do homebrew. He used to make alcohol and beer and things like that himself. So he may have planted them specifically for that too. I don't know. But hops are relatively easy to transplant, and you can and you can separate. They grow at what's called a rhizome. So it's like a, like say the bulb in the ground, and you can split that every few years, like every 4 or 5 years, you can split that into smaller plants, and they grow and multiply. So there's hops growing. A buddy of mine made beer with them years ago, and he said it was pretty good. I did talk about this before. I'm sorry, but anyway. Years ago, I had the idea for creating a business, growing, making a hop yard. I never did it, but I still, the hop yard idea, growing hops, to integrate into this microbrew idea, was part of the whole integrated system. What I'm trying to talk about is making a closed, integrated system where, you know, I could have all the ingredients someday for this microbrewery. Like, if it's on a small enough scale, I have enough land that if I clear some fields with the pigs, if I cut down the trees and have pigs clear the yard and tie it and till it up for me, and then I just come back later and remove the stumps and I have fields, I could grow barley, and then I could harvest the barley, and then to get malted barley, all it's a matter of is sprouting it. You sprout it, and then the minute, you soak it, let it sprout for a day or something, and then you heat it up to stop the process. For a stout, you want a dark, you want roasted barley, so you take the malted barley, then you roast it in an oven until it turns brown. That's why dark stouts are really dark, eh? And there you go. Sounds simple enough, right? So I find this all fascinating. Like, it would be really cool someday to grow barley, grow hops, put it all together, grow and brew a stout, and then have the non-alcohol beer. You make the beer, then you heat it up to remove the alcohol, then you have to re-pressurize it by adding carbon dioxide to get the fizziness, of course. So you have that, and then you have the spent grain and all this stuff. This is nothing new. Breweries are doing this, making beer, making stuff out of spent grain all over the place. None of this is new stuff. It's just, for me, it's new. For me, it's a cool idea. For me, I think this is something I would be passionate about down the road. It'd be a cool little side hobby thing to work on. And I think I'm gonna slowly, I mean, my plan is to build the dog treats and other side products from the spent grain I'm getting now from the brewery where I get it from. And then maybe someday, if feasible, look at the microbrewery for non-alcohol beer as a possibility. You follow? So, I just wanted to throw that out there. Basically, just to talk about that. I also wanted to test out the microphone, so I wanted to get something out there. I want to be more regular with these. Force myself to put some more content out there. Hopefully it's worthwhile. I'm so happy it's Friday, but I'm really not I'm not looking forward to the weekend, since there's so much to do. I'm worried about the mess that's going to happen tomorrow if it's going to warm up and turn to slush. There's so much snow packed down on the roads right now that it could turn into a real mess. Could turn into a real, real mess here on the weekend. But the good thing, I did the... Last weekend, I processed the last of our pigs. So we don't have any pigs anymore. They're all in the freezer. We just have chickens. I have a couple roosters that have to be processed. Try and do that tomorrow. And then we'll just have the one, two, three, four flocks. Four small flocks of layers for eggs. Roughly 22, 25 hens, I guess, roughly. And I would say about a third of them are starting to lay now. Maybe a quick stop here. Pull off the road. Okay. Trying to think if there's anything else, gang. I think that's about it. Yeah, I guess I've been thinking a lot about the spent grain and the products I can do with it. Wanted to get into some other ideas for the dog treats. Looking at other... See, years ago I had the idea for something else. This has always been my challenge. I keep getting ideas and ideas and ideas. I can't stop with the bloody ideas. I can't do them all. I can't work on them all. Why I don't mind talking about them, because somebody wants to take an idea and run with it. I mean, what am I going to do? Where was I going with this? Oh, years ago I had an idea for another company, and based on a recycling idea. I was really interested in recycling plastics because my father owned a gas station, and I was looking at all the oil jugs, like 1 liter oil jugs. You dump the oil in the motor, and then the oil jugs get tossed, and they go in the garbage. It's recyclable plastic, but they're coated with this engine oil in the insides, right? So you'd have to clean them with a detergent or something and remove the oil. And anyway, I was looking at what I could do with this, and I just, again, I was, 16, 17 years old at the time. Didn't have, you know, the internet was in its infancy back then. You didn't have the resources you have today, like the idea of recycling, but how? The only thing I knew back then is if you melt plastic, you release dioxins, which are these ridiculous cancer-causing chemicals, and it scared the hell out of me, so I didn't really get any further. Closest I got to doing anything, I called up this company near Truro or DeBert or something that was doing injection molding, and somebody had told me about them. I called and asked a couple questions, but I never went any further. But anyway, the point is, I've always been fascinated with recycling ideas. The spent grain is recycling. I'm taking a waste byproduct and doing something with it. But I'm also looking at other pet products that I can do recycling. I think I talked about the tire dog beds. There's this... People are doing it all around the world, places, but there's a guy in Brazil that kind of blew up, went viral a few months ago. He makes dog beds and cat beds out of old tires. And I tried making one just for the heck of it, see if it worked or not. I gotta make a stop here. I thought I'd be done talking by now. But I'll just press pause for 1 second.